I was waiting on you to mention it. Okay. Anyway, Aaron said we're going to be talking about the lie this morning, and it really should be a lie, not the lie. So I already realized that's an error in my slide. Some of the slides I'm going to have up are going to be difficult to see. I'd encourage you, there's a pew up here. When we get to those, move forward if you want to see them. I can make copies for you later, and I'll try to point some of the things out. But they're going to be hard to read, and I couldn't figure out a way. I came up yesterday, and I made some improvement, but actually they're not what they could be. In John 8:44, if you would get your Bibles and turn there, John 8:44. This very powerful chapter where Jesus really lets some of the followers, the people that were actually following him, really just let them have it and really trying to reveal and help them to see the condition of their heart. He says this about these people and then by extension about Satan. "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." And that's just, I think, a very powerful statement. It should help us to see that anything that's not of God is a lie. And Satan is the father of lies. And Jesus said, it's not like at one time he used to be a good guy. I think this verse really, really throws a monkey wrench in the idea that, that Satan was ever an angel in heaven. I think what he said is that Satan is the father of lies. He's the creator of lies. And there's no truth in him at all. And the things that he tells us, the things that are represented by what the world tells us, are lies, and we've got to be aware of them. What that says is he tells us things in our lives, in our culture, in our society, in our world, that look like they're true, but they're not. If we could recognize everything he did as a lie, then God wouldn't need to reveal to us that he's a liar. But what he's saying here is, you guys are just like your father the devil, because you're speaking things and you claim to be religious and you claim to follow me, but what you're saying is an outright lie. And that should have startled them. And maybe, we don't know the hearts of all the people that were there, but with many it didn't, but maybe some of them it did. And so what I think I'm more aware of than ever is the fact that when I agree with the world on anything, with my culture on almost anything, I'm scared to death because I'm almost sure it's a lie. And we have to be very careful to make sure that what we look at in the world is a lie. What we want to talk about specifically is the lie that I'm going to term social drinking. And I'll just tell you, I never thought I'd ever preach on this. You know, you think about yourself sometime in your life and look at yourself, and I just, you know, sometimes I say, you know, I don't think I ever preach on that. And here I am doing it. And I'll just tell you, it's because, and I could tell you the individual that some of us know, many of you would know, and maybe most of you, that recently has struggled with alcohol in his life because he bought into the lie. He bought into the lie that somehow socially I can be involved with alcohol and it's okay. Now I know, look, I understand. And if I were sitting there, I'd probably be saying, oh wow, I can't wait to hear what he has to say about this. And I'm just going to challenge you. And believe me, y'all know, y'all heard me speak before, that I'm going to get amped up, I'm sure. That I'm calm in the beginning, but I usually get louder and more aggressive as I go. It's not out of anger for you or any of you or anybody in specific, but it's because I'm passionate, because I see literally men's lives destroyed every day that have been destroyed or continue to be destroyed because of this lie that I think Satan's bringing out there. And that's what I want to share with y'all today. I think there's several lies that the world puts out about alcohol in general. Now, when I use alcohol, I want us to think of the perspective of how it's portrayed and how it's marketed to us today. Okay? And we'll get into some of the specifics of that later on, I promise you. But for right now, and I tell you, I sacrificed for this lesson. I DVR'd the Jaguar game last week. And unlike what I do with most shows I DVR, which is I watch the show, then I fast forward through all the commercials, I actually fast forwarded through the game and watched the commercials. And I did that to watch the beer commercials in specific. And first of all, I was surprised. There was only, I think, 4 beer commercials in the whole Jaguar game. That surprised me, because if you asked me probably, I'd say it was like 10 or 15 in every game. Now, and I'm sure some games are different than others. I guess they figured nobody was watching the Jaguar game, so they didn't spend the advertising dollars on there. But in reality, I got one message, and I think you would agree and have to agree with this, no matter what your stance is on alcohol, is that one is they want to portray the idea that everybody drinks. And they do that by showing every situation you can think of, from Christmas dinner to one of the Michelob commercials yesterday was people running a marathon and biking. And at the end, these trim and fit, they look like Aaron, you know, in good shape. Just, you know, young people, no big fat beer bellies or anything like that. And it basically, you know, said, hey, this is great. This is life. If you want to be in great shape, everybody does this. All your friends who work out, they all drink. And it's really, and although as you get older, you come to more reality of that, but I think especially when I was younger, and I know with all the young people here, if you tell somebody, but even in a lot of circles today, if you go to work and you say, hey, I don't drink, then people are going to say, well, man, you're weird. Everybody drinks. And if you look at statistics on that, it's real funny, because how do you define who drinks? Does it mean if you ever drank in your life? So usually they look at it in the last year or the last month. Okay? And depending on whose numbers you read, anywhere from 30 to 50% of the people say they have not drank anything in the last month. Okay? 50% of the people. So if you extrapolate that, 50% of the people in the United States have not drank anything in the last month. If you go out further, then the numbers go from anywhere from 50 to 70% in the last year. In other words, 50 to 70% of Americans say they've not drank anything, any alcohol, in the last year. Now, whether you believe it's 70 or 50, it doesn't really matter. But I'm saying, even if it's 70, that's 30%, that's 3 out of 10 people that say in the last year they haven't drank anything. Not a glass of wine, not a sip of beer, not a glass of champagne at a wedding, nothing. And I'm going to say, at the worst case, it's 30% of people don't. At the best case, it's 50% of people don't. So I guess it wouldn't matter in one sense, but I just want us to see we're being bombarded with a lie, and that is everything everybody does revolves around alcohol. And that's just simply not the truth, although it's the truth in a lot of people's lives in our culture. The next thing is that the commercials clearly say that alcohol makes you better. It makes you funnier, sexier, more fit, and smarter. You can't watch a commercial that you don't think, man, if I had that beer in my hand, it even makes your dog look smarter, right? How many of those commercials where the dog is trained to go, he doesn't go get a Diet Coke out of the refrigerator, he gets a beer. And the commercials are just unbelievably funny, a lot of them. But that alcohol makes you more attractive, it makes you easier to get along with, it makes you the hit of the party, and really it's amazing how much it blends into fitness. But if you don't drink alcohol, no wonder you're fat and out of shape. You don't drink enough beer. That's the message they're really, really sending. The next thing is, if you think kids aren't going to drink, then you're crazy. Now, that's not the beer commercial saying that. But I just think that if you just listen to people and they talk about alcohol abuse, anytime something comes up where alcohol becomes an issue, sports talk radio, they were talking one day about, you know, the Ray Rice situation, and the guy's got kids, and what he says is, you know, there's some things that I can tell my kids not to do, but I'm smart enough to know that to tell my kids not to drink is like talking to that wall over there, and it just isn't going to happen. And our culture is lying to us. Our culture is saying you cannot raise children who don't drink. And kids, teenagers, that's a lie. You can grow up and not drink. You can grow up and have a life that's not filled with and eat up with alcohol. That's a lie of this culture. And I think in some ways we bought into it. It's very similar to the thing kids are going to have sex, right? And then the last one, this is really a new message, I think, in alcohol commercials, the beer commercials predominantly, is that drink responsibly. Now, they show huge containers of beer. They open refrigerators and they're filled with beer. But they say drink, and they don't just say drink, they say you can drink responsibly. And it's the new message, really. It's that we love y'all, and we want you to drink responsibly. And I believe, brethren, and that's what I want to talk about today more, the church has embraced this message. We've not embraced the message of you can drink to everything because we know drunkenness is a sin. We're going to read some passages just to verify that. So I don't think any one of us, though, before we read those passages, believes probably that drunkenness is okay. But so we're not embracing that. Because I tell you, that's not even a lie Satan would try to get over on. But the lie is you can drink responsibly. And that's really what I'm going to talk about a lot today. But just let's look at some passages about drunkenness. Turn with me, please, and read these. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And again, it's not that I'm trying to convince you with these, but I want you to see that the Bible is very clear about drunkenness. The Bible is clear about what it says about how we should look at drunkenness. In chapter 5, verse 18, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." See, compared to being filled with Spirit, being drunk, he says, do not be drunk with wine. Now, that verse doesn't say it's okay to get drunk with beer or whiskey or whatever. But he's just saying is drunkenness, being intoxicated, being overcome by, should not be by alcohol, but should be by the Spirit of God. Okay? Powerful verse, all right? A couple books over, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. And look at the way as he describes here light and darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5, and I'm reading from the ESV, I think in all the verses I'll be reading today. And he says, "For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness." Now look what he associates with being of the night and of the darkness. "So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober." Keeping awake in sobriety is connected with what? The day. But look what he says in verse 7. "For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and of love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation." So does that say, is there ever a time when a Christian should not be looked at as walking in the day spiritually? No. We are to be children of the day all the time in our lives. In the daytime, and being a children of the day, is clearly associated with being awake and being sober, and being of the night clearly associated with being drunk. All right, make a clear distinction there. All right, one more. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3. And these are one of those lists, and I believe there's just a lot of verses we could go to, but I think it's important that we remind. Because you know what? Yeah, I know that drunkenness is wrong. I've read all the verses, but I don't know if Alex has. And I think we forget that sometimes. See, I don't think Wade's read all the verses on drunkenness. And you know what? The reason I knew it was wrong growing up is because somebody read those verses for me. And it's important that we remind ourselves that the Bible is very clear about this, that drunkenness is a sin, and it's unacceptable to God. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3, "For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do." So he's going to describe now Gentile living like living in darkness. Well, how do the Gentiles live? How does our world live? In sensuality, in passion, in drunkenness, in orgies, in drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. See, he doesn't just talk about drunkenness there. He even expands it. The idea of the partying atmosphere that revolves around alcohol is something that the Gentiles do. Just watch the commercials. That's what the Gentiles are doing. Many of you have lived that life before. So we just have to say, well, that's the truth. See, that's how the Gentiles are living. They're in drunkenness and they're involved in partying and feeling good centered around alcohol. And the Bible simply doesn't allow that. God doesn't allow it. And we can understand why, and we'll see in a few minutes why, again, that is. Last verse I want to read on this, Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Luke 21, verse 34. "But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. And I think he's not only talking about the day of judgment, the idea of the Lord coming back, but I think he's saying, you look at these sins, dissipation, drunkenness, and the cares of life, and those are all sins that kind of sneak up on you. You just don't get drunk, boom, in a second. You work on it. You work on dissipation. The cares of their life build up in you till they destroy you. He's saying, be careful when you start being weighed down with these things. Because you won't be ready for the day when it comes. Alright, so again, I don't think there's any question among us all that drunkenness is wrong. But here's, I think, the question that maybe many of you would say, or something you would say, or something that you least believe, because I've heard a lot of Christians voice it. And frankly, it concerns me. That's one of the reasons we're talking about this today. And that is, I don't see anything wrong with having a beer or two or a glass of wine as long as I don't get drunk. And in fact, I would say that that's a fallback position for us many times when the subject of alcohol comes up and we're around people in the world. It's a fallback position because I don't want to look like I'm some religious fanatic. I don't want to look like I'm not really like the world in a lot of ways. And so when somebody says, well, do you drink, or the subject of drinking and partying comes up, I say, oh, no, I don't drink, but I don't see anything wrong with having a beer or two. Yeah, it's no problem. What's the big deal? The Bible doesn't say you can't have a beer after work. The Bible doesn't say you can't have a glass of wine after dinner at night. The Bible doesn't say you can't have a whatever. Or we couch it this way. Well, I don't believe it's a sin to have a beer. I don't believe it's a sin to have a glass of wine. I'm going to tell you, I used to believe that. And I meant to ask Missy before, but she'll remember because she remembers all this stuff better than I do. And even when I think I remember it, I realize I don't. But I think it's when we went to prom, my senior year, I think, that we ate at the wine cellar. Now, there's a restaurant, okay? We didn't go booze it up there. She's shaking her head, yeah. You know what we did? We had a glass of wine. Because I was told we couldn't drink. And here we were, and I wasn't even 18. I don't even know why they served it to us, but they did. But we didn't just get a glass of wine, we got a bottle of wine. And I don't even like wine. And I don't even remember what it cost, but I probably acted like I knew what I was getting, you know. I didn't have a clue. She didn't either. And so we both, and I think we might have both drank a glass. And I think she actually saved that bottle for a long time, if I remember right. Shake your head if you did. You didn't? I thought I remembered you saving that for some reason. But anyway, because I said it, I said, nobody can tell us we can't have a glass of wine with our dinner. We didn't get drunk. I mean, I probably drank 3 sips of it. I hated the stuff. But I thought it was, you know what? I'm not going to be bound by a bunch of narrow-minded Church of Christ people that say you can't drink any alcohol. Because it doesn't say in the Bible you can't have a glass of wine for prom. And so we did. One of the stupidest things I've ever did in my life. But that was my mindset. So I just say, look, I understand. I'm not mocking people that say this because I said it myself. But I also understand when I said it, and I can't read your heart, but when I said it, it was an easy escape for me to feel like the people wouldn't look at me like I really was different than they were. So see, I wanted to be like them. And so oftentimes when we go along with this conversation, I don't drink, but I just really don't like it. That's why I don't drink. And I'll tell you, teenagers, if that's what you're saying, you're believing the lie of the devil and you're letting other people believe. Because that's not why I didn't drink. I didn't drink because I knew it was wrong. And I've been taught that as a child, but I was too embarrassed of my Lord to say it. It's a lie. I don't care how many commercials. I don't care how many Christians say that. And so one of the things we're going to look at a little later, when we make a statement like that, how does that affect Jonathan? How does that affect one of the teenagers? Because, see, they hear those things. And are they buying in? And is that what we want them to buy into? Well, let's just look at it. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler. Whoever is led astray by it is not wise. See, here's the inherent lie in this. I can drink a beer after work and I'll never be led astray by it. And we've convinced ourselves of that. And I hope to debunk that today.